This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 191 for Tuesday, May 3rd, 2016. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
It's the Anderson Penn's Radio Network. And to our side, because I don't know which side it is, we have some very special guests with us from the land up north. Everybody, please give a warm welcome to Dr. Stephen Brown and Aziza Asgharali.
Hi, everyone.
Applause.
I'm sorry, I didn't have my... Hang on. Where is it?
I'm going to have your applause.
I was even expecting it. I was waiting for it.
It was giving me trouble here. We were too busy talking before the show, do you?
I know.
That's true. We were very excited. This is what happens when you get pen
people. You guys are hanging out in... it was wonderful to have you here. You've been hanging out in Canada for a couple of days. Globe-trotting, as it were. You were so close. You could have almost stopped, and gone to the Chicago Penn Show.
Yeah. True. We are very close.
Yes.
Shoot.
That was my segue.
How far north are you guys?
We're just outside Toronto. So we're not too far, a couple hours, I guess.
Yeah. As the moose walks.
Do you have a moose problem up there?
Yeah.
Yes, it's Mickey Moose.
I'm very jealous that we didn't get to go.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was a really good show this year.
The hotel was much better.
Yeah, it reminded me of like the days of old, you know. I mean, I guess we were only out of the West in 1 year, but it seemed like forever. One huge room. And we got there on Thursday, and it was busy. Holy smokes.
Yeah. Yeah, we got there in time to what we thought would be set up, or at least unload the car. And the half of the ballroom that was open was almost full. I don't want to say it was as busy as LA, but it was as full as LA is on a trading day. Lots of people. I heard there were some pretty big deals going around, and it looked like everybody was pleased with the setup. The lighting was good in the ballroom. That's half the battle right there.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. But certainly better than the last year's hotel with three different ballrooms scattered around the hotel. That was just not great.
Well, and to reiterate on that, a lot of people are complaining about that. It was either to have a show or not have a show. So, it wasn't great, but they did the best they could. Now it looks like we've got a solid hotel in a nice location. You can walk right out the hotel, and there's 30 restaurants within a several block area.
Yeah, right across from the hotel, just across the kind of road that leads to the hotel, is a big shopping center. There's a Target, there's a PetSmart, there's a Staples or an Office Max, a Home Depot. I mean, anything that as an attendee or a vendor you could need is right there, and then a boatload of restaurants. So it was really a good location. Although the GPS decided to take us home some really weird way, like through the middle of nowhere.
It was a scenic route.
Scenic, yeah, that's the word. But the show was good. We got to see a lot of people. We got to do the anniversary thing, and...
The anniversary thing. 6 years in, we're now just it's being reduced to the anniversary thing.
You know, it still tickles me when people come up and say, you know, oh, I was at your wedding, and so many people kept saying, okay, now how long has it been? It's been like 3 years. Somebody thought 8 or 9. Somebody thought 3. Somebody thought 4. Everybody was really, I think, surprised that it was 6 and we're still speaking.
We are.
To each other.
To each other, yeah.
To each
exactly.
other, yeah, right.
Exactly. Well, you know, all those long drives in the car, you have time to cash out whatever.
Mm-hmm. You have to, mm-hmm. right? I mean, coming back from San Francisco, you know, it's 48 hours or whatever it is. If you don't get along, it's just not going to work.
And it's a long drive.
Oh, yeah. No, show was good. I don't know what to say about the show. We did not go to the auction. I did see the auction preview. I don't know why. It was exhausted by the time Thursday was done.
I will go out there and embarrass myself and say that at 7:30 on Friday night, I was asleep in bed.
I don't think that's embarrassing. I think that just means that the show was extremely exciting.
No, it was an intense show.
It was, you know, there was something about it. I do feel that there was an energy in the air. You know, this is year two for Paul Contarato and Roger Wooten running the show. They did a good job. You know, it was three solid days. I think I don't know what I don't want to. We have guests, so I don't want to expound on it. But it was a good show. A lot of great people, very busy, a lot of people through the door. I saw some cool pens. You know, I turned down some cool pens, unfortunately, but...
And that's why we stay happily married.
Yes, I had... the best pen that came to the table that I had to shoo away was a mint, and I'm talking mint. Red hard rubber, Aiken Lambert Mercantile. Big pen, too, and it was probably... You know, for that type of pen, number four size, maybe a little bigger. I mean, it's an odd size. Perfect. Red hard rubber feed. You know, nothing wrong with it. And I had to send it away.
Wait. Why?
Well, I have one.
but one is never enough. Two is better.
Aziza.
Yeah, and actually, the funny thing is I knew this gentleman was coming, and I knew he had it. And I said, well, I have one. And then when he came there, I was shocked to see that I think it's a different size. I think it's like a slight size bigger than what I have. But I knew there was...
The marriage is kind of balancing here, so let's not overdo it on why you had to take it or not take it.
Well, see, that's where we can segue right into new pens. Why don't we do that? How's that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think everybody here has probably got new pens in the last little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you guys go first?
Why don't you go first? Oh, yours is very exciting.
Yeah, well, I am.
Because you've been looking at it for a long time.
I've been looking at it for a long time, and I have to admit that I... Exactly.
But,
Time was slightly off there, but that's okay. I've been looking at it for a long time. Now I know that the camera we're using is not the crispest in the
world. It was a last minute camera. We apologize.
It's a Classic Pens LB5, which is a very limited pen. It's what Andy Lambrew made together with Sailor. For those of you interested, it is 30 of 50. And these are large pens. I mean, they are really big, and they are beautiful. This is the Kain one, the red one. It's a very intense, fiery red, and I love
gorgeous.
It. Everything about this pen is perfect. Mm-hmm. It's big. It's not too heavy. It's a great balance. And what I really liked about this is that it has a I can try and show it. I know this camera won't pick it up, but it has a cross point nib. So it's in a nutshell two nibs on top of each other, which makes for a very fine line if you hold it almost perpendicular to the paper, and a very broad line when you hold it at a lower angle. So
that's a great.
I think it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's superb.
Now, a couple questions for you, Stephen. That's the King of Pen, of course. Is that larger than the regular 1911 King of Pen,
yeah,
or is it the same size?
Yes. As I understand it, it's about half a centimeter, so it's not much. But it's a few millimeters longer than the Ebonite King of Pen, for example. Yeah.
Okay, and it is celluloid, acrylic. What kind of material?
I thought it was an acrylic, right?
Yeah,
it's a multi-layer acrylic or something.
Blend.
But what I can say is that, I mean, it has lines, and it's. It's really
it
pretty.
Has lines.
It has a lot of sort of lines running around. And it has a lot of depth.
Yeah.
It's a very pretty material, and so.
That's a great looking pen. Yeah.
It's a very fascinating material. Yeah.
It's been a while.
That cross name is beautiful too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing.
I gotta say, Sailor makes some cool stuff.
They do.
Yes, they do. And what do you have in your hand this week?
Well, he got his, and then I was jealous, so I had to get one too. But
so you got the same thing or something different?
I got the same model, but mine is the Kuseki. I apologize if I butcher that. But it's the metal ore, the earth finish, and not that it cares, but it is 31 of 50. And the only thing I did, I took my King E, my Pro Gear King of Pen. So mine is like this absurd epic one.
That's the most epic game ever.
It's very exciting, which, of course, this is not going to show anything, but...
Well, it's a shame we can't see that nib. That's a great, great nib. That's like the cross point.
Yeah, exactly. So it's three nibs stacked on top of each other. It's amazing to see that, and the line it lies down, it's just...
I mean, if you want to use up ink, this is the way it's...
Yeah, absolutely.
And so essentially, it has six tines.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah. And the slits, if you look at it straight on, actually run all the way through and across like this. So it's really amazing that they've thought of this.
Yeah.
Oh, I really enjoy
four?
It.
I wonder if they do four.
Nagahara's busy enough.
No, right? Is this the Emperor version of the King Eagle or no?
No, it's just the regular. What is interesting is that actually, even though it doesn't have that Emperor thing, which is supposed to give an extra good ink flow, I don't think it ever skips or runs dry. It's just perfectly tuned. It's amazing.
It keeps up very well.
Yeah. The same thing goes for the crosspoint I have.
I think I just empty the converter before it even has a chance to run dry.
Yeah, it's amazing how consistent they made that. Because, I mean, of course, I understand the benefit of the Emperor thing. But yeah, I don't even miss it.
No,
it's so consistent. It's fun.
Nope, those are gorgeous. I've seen those. You know, I've seen them online. I guess I've seen them at Andy's table, at shows. Certainly, I've seen them in the book. But yeah, they're just so pretty. The rings, Stephen, on yours almost look like the rings of a planet or something.
Yeah.
Is that what
they're
supposed to represent?
I think it's just supposed to be. I think it's fire, and it is a.
Okay.
I can sort of picture a sort of flame like thing.
Right.
It's such a it's really neat.
It's hard to capture it in pictures, but
absolutely.
In person, like you said, in person seeing it, it's.
And Andy really does stunning. Great work. So very cool,
really lovely, very exciting.
Well, I don't know if we can top that. That's impressive.
Our parts pale in comparison, I think.
I don't know. I think your collections would win.
We could trade.
So, Lisa and I have a couple new pens. Basically, they're anniversary presents, and we mentioned these before, so it's kind of I won't say it's old news, but we finally got around to inking these up, and in a
Because one of us forgot the ink.
So
our employer, Chris, came down to the show on Saturday, and he came to work the show, and his parents live in the area. So all day Friday, we kept emailing and calling and texting saying, oh, can you bring this? And, oh, since you're coming, bring this. And our son is going to bring a bottle of ink from home to the store. Could you please bring it to us? And so he had this like box of stuff that he brought. It was cool.
Well, the funny thing was my new pen is the Omas Arco celluloid Paragon. It's a great material. And of course, the natural choice for ink is Mont Blanc toffee brown.
I agree.
And so. It's the perfect ink for this pen. It's just so beautiful. I couldn't imagine putting anything else in it. And so we call up Garrett, and we're having Garrett look around at every, I have all these cabinets that are behind my head, and they're filled with ink and pens. It takes 10 minutes for him to find the bottle. He takes it in, and I'm thinking, well, I had already used this before. I don't want to go, and I could take one off the shelf, but, I took it there to sell it. When Chris brings it, the bottle is unopened. So finally, we get to ink them up, but nice. I just it's It's a super cool pen, and I think, Stephen, you've got a Arco, I think?
Yeah, I do, and the material is stunning. It's something that you really, I think, have to see in person to fully appreciate it, but it's amazing what they did with that. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, we were kind of joking around the shop today, and we were talking about things that we would like to see and what would be cool, and I said, wouldn't it be cool if Sailor could get some of the Arco cellulose?
Oh, mm-hmm. I would buy that.
Put it on a Pro Gear or something. Would that be cool?
I would definitely go for that.
Yeah.
But no, it's a super pen. Initially, I wanted the Mallard because the Mallard has the matching section. Yeah. It's a nice. Mm-hmm. It was not available when we heard the news. I got the only one that was available was the Paragon, which is okay because it has brothers and sisters now. So.
Because that's all you're getting.
That's all I'm getting.
That or a preppy.
That was my new pen, and Lisa got 16 new pens.
16?
Well, he's exaggerating a little. We don't keep track, just like with kids at Christmas, you don't necessarily keep track to the penny of how much you spend on one person versus another. But I will certainly say that Brian's was not cheap, even at our dealer cost. And so he got one pen, and over the course of the past couple months, I've gotten several.
Several vanishing points. Oh, well, why don't you say what you got?
I got the Burgundy Decimo. I got a Vivid Red 2009 limited edition vanishing point. What else did I get?
The black one with the snow?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, if you haven't seen, this is the Vivid Red.
That's very vivid.
Looks like a Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
hereafter called the Jolly Rancher Vanishing.
Jolly Rancher.
That's good. I like that.
And, you know, Brian has a couple 149s. Last year, I got a Vanishing Point, and Brian got a 149.
And she got two pens last year for my ones.
I did. One was a Sailor. One was a Vanishing Point. The copper last year, right? I got the copper?
Yeah. Last year she got serial number 149. So that was my thing. We each got a 149.
A 149.
For the anniversary.
Mine was number 149. His was a 149. And it occurred to me that I don't have a modern, classique-shaped Mont Blanc. We're official retailers, and that was a big deal for us. I've got a couple Mont Blancs. We've joked in the past about my collection of Mont Blancs that don't look like Mont Blancs. They look like St. DuPonts. They're thin, flat at the ends. And so we had a Chopin that we picked up in that big collection when we bought the stationery store. And so for the anniversary, I got the Chopin because I don't like big, chunky pens. And the 149 is just huge. The 146 was even, this is what, a 144?
Well, no, that's in between. I mean, see, that's, right. That I think is really the perfect size. The 144, the Classique, is a little bit smaller.
Yep, that's right.
And this one's a little bit bigger with the screw cap. I think it's the pen they ought to have made the 144.
Yeah. So I ended up with the Mont Blanc Chopin, and it's the perfect size. I really like it. I inked it up when Brian inked up his, and so at some point maybe we'll just put my pen in between your pens in your pocket, and it'll be like Mommy, Daddy, and Baby Pen or something.
Oh, a pen family.
I didn't even write with it. Now, it's a medium nib.
Yes.
Mont Blanc is usually a little bit generous. How do you like that nib width?
I'm trying it right now. It's fine.
You're trying it right now.
Let me just play with it. No, it's good. It's a medium. I wouldn't call it a fat medium. I wouldn't call it a narrow medium, but it's good.
Okay.
Smooth writer, and it's nice to have probably what will be my only Mont Blanc. I have other pens that are on my hit list next, but we'll see.
Ooh.
That's a nice looking pen. I like that one. Nice. Yeah.
Just, I think the size is just, the Classique is so small. Now this has the same nib, but this is just slightly bigger, and you know, and the screw cap is so much nicer, I think, but it is what it is, right? So, we were going to talk about pen shows, and we made a weird segue. Both of you have been to pen shows in the United States. Mm-hmm. And now you live in Europe, or you do live in Europe. Which shows have you gone to in Europe, and can you comment on differences, similarities between European shows versus U.S. shows? And start with let's start with which shows you've been to in the U.S. and then which shows you've been to in Europe, and maybe expound on that.
All right. Well, my first show was the Dallas Pen Show, and I know that's one of Lisa's preferred shows, so I can say it was pretty awesome. It was really good.
The first year you went, we didn't meet you, and it was the second time.
Yeah, because I kind of hid, and I was terrified. I was like, oh, my God. I'm like starstruck. So I basically hid around the corner and I just watched. But the second year,
That's crazy.
But it was a nice size show. It was a nice length of time. Everybody was really welcoming and warm and like talked about what they had. And I was at that point not very familiar with fountain pens. So I was still in the learning phase. Of course, I'm still in the learning phase. I was really at the start of the learning phase. And the next year, of course, I knew a bit more, so I was a bit more comfortable. But so I've only been to the Dallas show. But you...
Well, that's a good show. I mean, I always consider the Dallas show to be kind of a top of that middle tier. If you split shows up into three tiers, that was a decent, really good show.
Yeah, I mean, I have no other U.S. shows to compare it to, but I thought it was really enjoyable, really nice, not too overwhelming. Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, nice show. So if you want to go, you should go to it.
I was only at one U.S. show. That was the D.C. show, which I think still goes by the moniker of the biggest pen show in the world. And I found that absolutely fascinating. I mean, it is huge, and in that regard, it's spectacular. It's also very long, with 4 days, two public days, I think, but officially 4 days, and people can get in. So it's very interesting and big. I mean, I have never ever seen that many pens in one location anywhere in the world. So I mean, in that regard, I would say it's
like
definitely worth it.
A pen fantasy.
Yeah, like a fantasy. See what I did there?
Doesn't sound right.
Anyway,
I'm not sure. Yeah.
I mean, that's an experience that if you really like pens, I think you should really try to have at least once, because it's so overwhelming, but fun, not overwhelming in a bad way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can't find it in D.C., it probably does not exist.
Exactly. Or you don't need it.
Yeah. I like
now,
that.
Now, what's the difference between the U.S. shows and the European shows?
Well, I think we can talk about this for hours, because there's a lot of differences. Do you want to start with the...
Well, we have been to the Tilburg show.
Which is the smallest pen show in the world, so in that regard...
It's basically nice. Like 1 month after the greatest pen show in the world is the Tilburg pen show. So,
now, for the record, I mean, that sounds a bit mean, but I mean, there's nice vendors there. It's small.
And I'm trying to get an estimate, maybe 20 vendors.
I think it's more than you think, but it's, I mean, if you compare it to multiple day US show, it's also, you can basically count the hours of the show.
It's like 10 to 3 or 11 to 3. It's very short.
People pack up soon.
Yeah.
So.
So we've done that one, and we've also done the Cologne Pen Show in Germany.
Yep.
So you, of course, you've done the Tilburg Pen Show.
I've done the Tilburg Pen Show multiple years, and it's the same stuff every year. So that's.
So has it changed? Hasn't it evolved over time?
No.
Okay. Well.
No. I think differences are that, first of all, many, maybe all, but many of the U.S. pen shows are multiple-day shows.
Yeah, that's the major difference.
The European shows typically are a day, often hours, something like 10 to 5 or 10 to 4, something like that.
11 to 3.
There are, you know, 2 to 3, there are with lunch break, half an hour, so there's... There are some multiple day show. The Madrid show is a multiple day show.
But that's generally seen as the biggest one.
I think so. But I haven't been there, so I can't really comment on that. For me, one of the differences is the European pen shows that I have been to are very, very vintage focused. Mm-hmm. I would say it's maybe 90-10 vintage modern.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's very vintage. It's a lot of traders who are not necessarily professional pen sellers or traders, but people who go there to exchange their the double pens in their collection, etc. And one thing that has really struck me is the difference in attitude, and I don't know if that is just a cultural thing. I do think that maybe American people are a little bit more outgoing than European people can be, but I mean, in Cologne there was this lady, I had a pen that I was trying to sell, and she had a number of those, and she was just reading the newspaper and was kind of like, yeah, I can't really be bothered, so I'm just sitting there. So a vendor is sitting there, not paying any attention to potential customers.
But I mean,
we're
actually looking at her pen.
Yeah, I mean, you're standing there trying to, but nothing happens. And I have not experienced that in the U.S. There seems to be much more interaction and, I think, enthusiasm in the vendors.
That's not to say it can happen at either show.
No, of course. But it's striking.
Yeah.
So why do you think there aren't more multi-day shows? Is it just are there more shows in Europe? Are there the same number? I mean, here in the U.S. we've got 14, 15 a year, something like that.
Well,
there's quite a few here. Surprisingly,
there is quite a few. I also think that I found it very interesting that I basically saw all the same faces in Cologne that I've seen in Tilburg for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the same people that travel around a bit. It's entirely possible that Europeans are more stingy and just think, no, man, one day.
He's a European. I'm not saying it.
No,
so
I can't say this, but I mean, it's just like one day is let's not get crazy and pen out too much. Let's just do it all one day. But I think that's one difference, that the majority of vendors at the European shows aren't professional vendors. They may do a bit of stuff on eBay but I think it's mainly collectors who are there to trade things themselves. Whereas in the US there's a lot of people like you and other for example, I have never seen companies represented in European pen shows. So Parker doesn't show up at a pen show or whatever brand. They don't do that. But even European brands, I mean Montblanc is not
like
at a pen show.
Lamy doesn't show up.
So, that's another thing that, another difference. And I think that also makes it less interesting to have a multiple-day show because it's just a couple of amateurs. And I don't mean that in any negative
sense.
Sure. Right. Well, it's collectors. Yeah.
People go out of their way. They take a day off or whatever, and that's when they're there.
Yeah. It's a big investment, I think, for vendors or anybody. Haul themselves out get to a show, especially if it's only for 5 hours.
But does it make it more intimate? Do you get more one-on-one time when you're looking at a pen? I mean, you both have been to fairly busy shows, and sometimes it's too busy to really chat or to get the history of a pen and really learn anything. Are the European shows a little more helpful or intimate, well, I guess, is what I'm thinking.
I mean, relatively speaking, Europe is smaller too. So at even at the Scholle Tilburg, which is small, pretty much every Dutch serious pen collector is there at the peak hour. So even then, it's small, but it's very crowded.
Yeah.
I think the best interactions we have had in at European shows was with American vendors.
Or English vendors.
And
it's very interesting.
I think if the vendors actually show interest in you, then that's one thing.
I don't know if it's a language barrier for me.
No,
of course speak Dutch and German, but it's very.
Now I just want, because now I'm getting the feeling that I'm getting very negative about European shows. I mean,
no.
It's a lot of fun at European shows too.
They're still worth it.
Yeah, it is worth it because you meet like-minded people. And
you do.
True.
You
for
do.
Sure.
I wish they were longer though, so that you could spend more time looking for what you're looking for, so you can ask more questions, learn more about the pens. Meet more, pen fans.
And
pen
maybe
friends.
It's also a matter of having to be more assertive at European pen shows and really, really approaching the vendors very directly with your questions. For example, in Cologne, I saw a Mont Blanc with, it didn't have a white star at the end, but a swastika. And it turned out it was a Nazi pen.
Fascinating.
But I mean, that's fascinating. But I asked the person selling that was actually the organizer of the show, and I asked him about it. And he gave me a whole explanation. So I do think, you can do it, but,
Of course, it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
We have to also engage them.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. Right.
Yeah.
So I think the thing that would interest me most about European pen show obviously you have, and especially from the vintage standpoint, you have a different pool of pens.
Yes.
I mean, obviously over here, we're very much focused on the big four, Waterman, Parker, Schaefer, Wald, Eversharp, and a few others.
But
I mean, what percentage, is are U.S. pens over there still a large percentage of the vintage pens that you see, or do you see a significantly larger amount of say, Pelican and Mont Blanc, and
Conway, the
British brands.
Well, Cologne, particularly, we were surprised that it was like almost all Pelican and Mont Blanc.
It's black and green.
It was almost comical.
It's all there. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really. I mean, I honestly think it's safe to say that 80% there was Pelican and Mont Blanc.
Yeah, probably higher. Yeah, it was.
And the rest
amazing.
Was starch. So,
yeah, so sorry.
The start is the 10% modern.
Yeah, exactly.
Rest, but I mean,
I
do think it's different. Yeah.
Because
in Tilburg too, I think it really is mainly it's a lot of Pelican, a lot of Mont Blanc, some Waterman, but then I mean a little bit more modern Waterman. I think not your ultra fancy vintage.
My ultra fancy.
Yeah, you're the flexy lady.
It's definitely.
Anyway, so I think that balance is different.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
So how is the price point then? So if you've got a whole room of Mont Blanc and Pelican.
Oh my God.
I mean, is it significantly cheaper? Is it? I mean, I don't want to say cheaper, but is it less expensive? Is it easier to find a nice Mont Blanc than it is, say, in the United States?
You have a lot of options.
Yeah.
Aziza was looking for a specific Pelican.
Yeah, I was looking for an M400 brown tortoise. And
vintage one, right? And you had...
Not a vintage, but the older style.
The older style.
Yeah.
And better stuff.
No, but... and there was quite a range that went from something I think like 80 euros where one was in decent condition but engraved all the way up to something like 225 where it was in very good condition but I wasn't willing to spend 225 on it, and I found something at a pretty low price in excellent condition. So with so much to choose from, you definitely have a bigger range and the of choice, but the price range is also greater as well. So, of course, if you want something really expensive and new old stock, essentially, or mint condition, you can pick that. Or if you want something that's user grade, you can get that as well, which is not a bad thing.
No, no, you get yeah, it's much more on offer, so you can definitely pick your pricing, I think.
That is an advantage.
Yeah.
Finally. Yay, it's something good.
Different set of people.
Yeah. Oh, yay.
And we have a special guest that just came to the podcast.
Oh, so best one.
All right, just for Aziza. She's not very happy with me.
She's like, I am going to kill you.
So in case you see this tail that's flopping up here, that's Brooke.
Brian's cat.
She's participating in the pen chat.
Well, you know.
Well, we were joking how funny it would be, because she usually just lays on the bed or does whatever, and how funny it would be if she came out when
she knows.
We were doing the podcast.
She knows.
Yeah, she knows.
She's like, there's pen chat going on. She's going to come participate. She's adorable.
She's going to come and mess with everything, yeah.
Yeah, so,
as long as she doesn't hit the stop button, we're okay.
That's happened.
Yeah,
it's definitely happened.
Yeah.
What else do we want to chat about?
I don't know.
Well, one other thing I could toss out is Lamy. Yep. They often have older Lamys that are hard to find, like the colors, like the red with the yellow clip or vice versa. And the gray. At the European pen shows.
Yeah.
They're just fairly easy to find there. Of course, they're expensive, but
okay.
There's quite a few of them.
Yeah, that's
this past weekend we got the orange with the red clip.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the original box. So
is that to keep for yourself?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, at that price that we got it for. Yeah, absolutely. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was.
That was a good looking one. I like that one.
Yes,
I don't think it had ever been used either.
And it was kind of a surprise.
That's awesome.
Ryan just kind of said, hey, look what I found, and, you know, I have a collection of Lamys. I don't do, I'm not too active in my search, but this was really cool.
Well, if they come around and they're the right price, you buy them, you know. So, like, we ran across a Savannah Green once. I think it was in a junk bag.
Yep.
We paid nothing for it.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So.
Oh, my goodness. But,
wow. What else? So what else is going on with you guys? Podcast, blog, what's going on in the rest of your world?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. What did I just do? I just had a review go up of a ballpoint. That was apparently very shocking to a lot of people, but including myself. But
very controversial.
That hurt.
It was sent to me, but it was a very special ballpoint. I don't have it right here at hand, but it doesn't matter. It's the Fotografica pen, which is made by a German gentleman, kind of to honor his grandfather, who was a photographer. And it's made like an sort of an old Leica, so it has that sort of fake leather covering that the old cameras have. And the coolest feature is that you can. Take out a little thing in the back of where you twist it to engage the tip.
I
have no ballpoint terminology, but in any case, you take it out and there's a little lens in there and there's a little photo positive. Someone explained to me, not a negative but a positive, so it's a little picture and you can hold it up to the light.
Yeah, it's really neat.
So it's
like itty-bitty, cool. But it's really cute.
It was a limited edition, and it was I thought it was very neat. Even though it was a ballpoint, I mean, if you have to have a ballpoint, you may as well have something cool and gimmicky, and that's definitely that. So that was neat.
Yeah, it is really cute, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
How about you?
Wow. What did I do?
I don't know.
Oh, I just reviewed the new Edelstein ink, the aquamarine, which is super nice.
Isn't that pretty?
Yep. It's such a beautiful color, and I always think, oh, a similar color. I don't need another blue green. And then I play with it. And I'm like, oh, I guess I do. It's really nice though, and it looks great in you know the pilot parallels, of course. So anybody asks, they're like, you know, what pen should I get to make my ink look good? I'm like, pilot parallels.
Or LB5. But
LB5. A little bit of a difference between the two, right?
Yeah, just a little bit of a difference. It's
any particular parallel or just all, I mean, there's four of them and they're not that expensive.
Wow. If you want a reasonable one to use for everyday writing, I would say the 1.5. But if you want one for like absurd playing with, I would go with the 6mm.
We're not in this for, you know.
Yeah, so the snow shovel, the 6.0 snow shovel in the winter.
It's yeah, exactly. It's so good.
It is very neat. If you really want something that brings out the shading of an ink, then that definitely does it.
Yeah.
And they're fun, and they're just fun and fairly inexpensive too.
I think so.
Yeah.
Those are awesome. Friends.
Everybody needs one.
I think so.
Shameless plug, but everybody needs one.
I all of them. It's really ridiculous. Just in different sizes.
Now, not everybody needs 12. One really.
Yeah, but then they're always inked with different colors, you know. So anyway, and then you can do the gradient things and you know.
Yep.
Do.
It's cool.
Those are awesome.
The whole moderation thing doesn't work too well for you, Aziza.
Well, it does sometimes, but not with this. I moderate in that I moderately.
She moderates by thinking, instead of buying 10 pens, I'll buy 9.
Yeah, there!
I do the same thing.
See? Mm-hmm. There we go. We're
siblings from a different
exactly.
world.
Exactly. Exactly.
Should we mention, go through a couple things around the new items that came in, maybe?
We should. There's some cool stuff.
Now, I don't know if you guys have seen this yet. I would imagine you probably have an easier time of finding this than most folks do in the U.S., but the Mont Blanc Heritage Rouge et Noir, Ebonite Limited Edition.
That's cool.
Quite frankly, I was shocked it showed up in the store. I had ordered it, and then it was on the order form, and then it was off the order form, and then it just showed up, three days before the show. Yeah. Neat. Cool. It's ebonite. It's got that two-tone nib. It's got little red jewels in the eyes. It's a killer pen. 1906 available. Have you guys seen the pen yet?
I haven't seen the just the resin one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's neat.
Even the resin ones are cool. So.
Yeah, I think they're really nifty.
Yeah. Yeah,
they did a good job.
Coral is a one-shot thing, and who knows about the black, but I think they're still releasing some of it because I don't know any dealer that has gotten anything other than a black fountain, black medium point fountain. Hmm. No corals, no black lines, that's it. So,
I wonder what they're doing.
Yeah.
Very sneaky.
I don't know. So that came in, and also there's a little story on the website, Pilot Vanishing Point 2009 limited editions we just happened to stumble across at a pen show. New, old stock. Lisa, you want to talk to that? You're hanging on to it.
I'm hanging on to it, yeah. I should have brought the regular red with rhodium trim home to show you the difference. This is definitely bright red. Now, when Pilot makes their limited editions every year, they also make additional parts in case there's a problem with a barrel or, you know, either half of the pen. They do make some extra pieces to use for repairs, for replacements, etc. And we stumbled across a batch of the replacement pieces. Never been used. And they were put together as pens. They're authentic, vivid red, as you can see, but these are not numbered and they don't come in the fancy box. Essentially, the pens were assembled from these now no longer needed caps and barrels with the nib. So it's everything as is, it just doesn't come in the cool little box, and these are not numbered, but they are 100% authentic Pilot Vivid Red. So great. I managed to snag one as part of my anniversary.
I use air quotes on that. I managed to siphon one off.
Well, like it was
she needed one to explain the story
to demonstrate
of how
to show,
they were created. Exactly.
Yeah. See? So it's kind of cool, actually, that I don't know where these were. I don't know how it all came to be, but we managed to score just a couple, and they will go fast because if you've ever wanted one, now you can get one, and they're really hard to find. A friend of ours who collects Vanishing Points said that that's one of the harder ones to find. So
yeah. I've never seen that one before. Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
So that's in the new Retro 51 Popper is in Surfing, so just in time for soon to be summer. I guess we're rolling into spring, but the Surfing Popper that came in, and one that I'm surprised Aziza has not said anything to me about yet is the D. Leonard dip pen nibs that are now on the site.
Oh yes.
These things are crazy. They're beautiful to look at.
Yes. And the photography on those are superb. It's like nibbling.
Thank you. Yeah, the photographer does a great job. But
nibbling, yeah.
It's nice. They're flexible. They've got different features. They're neat. The Shakespeare one has got a little picture of Shakespeare on the nib.
That's just fun.
Stop listening. They're torturing me.
And the best part is they're only like $2 a piece, you know.
Yeah, that's so true. That's true. That's great. That's great.
You know,
it's exciting.
So, those, and then I guess last but not least, the Twisby Eco Clear made its way, and that is here. I don't know what more to say about that. Inexpensive piston filler. It's clear.
That's a pretty awesome starter pen.
And it's clear that they will be popular.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, and you know, and it hasn't. I think the Eco hasn't. We haven't had. I can't think of any issues that have come out. I mean, Twisby's really kind of solidified some of their issues.
Yeah.
With some of the materials, I think it's a decent pen. So.
Yeah.
It's been going. Eco was pretty solid. Yeah.
Ours performed quite well.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed. Yeah.
Simple and good.
Who doesn't like a clear pen?
Well, actually, I don't. I'm not a demonstrator.
Crazy
pen.
People.
That's not my preference. But a $29 piston filling pen is really, name another one.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Short of not a good one. That's in a class all its own, I think. So, interestingly enough, though, I think it almost competes against itself, against the 580. I mean, the 580 is $20 more, and you're getting sort of the same pen.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's true.
And I like the size of the Eco better for my hand. I have a smaller hand. I think the 580 is too big, and when you try to post it, it's way too long and too back heavy.
Yeah, it's a very strange poster.
I like the Eco.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's in. Let's hit up a couple topics, and I'm going to bet that Aziza can comment on some of these topics that came up on the blog. It was week two of Pencil Week, extension of Pencil Week that we had a few weeks back. Palomino Blackwing and Mixed Grade Graphite sets.
Yes. These are cool.
I kind of like that mixed grade set. It's got a couple of each of the different grades. It's not expensive and an easy way to get a full set instead of, you know, buying onesie twosies.
Mm-hmm. Orange.
And it's orange, right. I mean, what's not to love about orange?
He knows nothing about pencils, so don't worry.
I know very little about many things.
So we can just ignore him. It's okay. Don't worry.
Palomino makes phenomenal pencils.
Yeah.
They're not as cool as those Namiki impressions, but
No, that's true.
Now the funny thing is since we got those pencils, Lisa and I have been on this search to find the impressions fountain pens. And who did we see had one? Linda had one. Yeah, she had the blue or the blue and purple or something like that. Oh man.
Beautiful
pens.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous. It's like, what a pretty pen. Would you like to sell it?
Or get
the matching pencil.
Well, and Ron Zorn has one on his table that he's had on his table for half a year at least, 6 months, 9 months, and it's a nice, it's the brown version, except it's got like an extra fine nib that's been ground to a needle point. Completely useless to me.
Yeah. It's like,
sorry.
No, I can't work at that.
No. So, it's not like I have extra Namiki nibs lying around that you can swap in. You know, so you could put the custom 74 nib in there, but then it's a pilot nib and that's just weird.
Yeah.
And speaking of Japanese pens, Platinum 37, 76 centuries, price drop on a couple of those pens. It's just a small drop.
Wait. Say that again. Price drop.
Price drop. Yeah.
You don't hear that every day.
No. Black and gold, pretty much the gold trim, 37, 76 centuries. Drop about 20, 26 bucks. The catch is the pen does not come with a converter at that price point. So, but that's that. And the Schaefer Tyrannus, which is an interesting pen. I wonder how the Tyrannus is going to be looked upon in like 30 years.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's the most different pen.
Yes.
Yeah.
That Schaefer came out with. And you wonder if it was a great idea or a really horrible idea. I just can't figure it out.
They're colorful, at least.
Yeah, the new one. Yeah,
pretty colors.
Yeah. I've confused the two. Yeah, that was a very interesting idea.
Yeah.
I think pretty much most people agree that if they would have taken the Schaefer off of the top of the pen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we know
it wouldn't have been quite so obnoxious.
Yeah.
But points for trying something different.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's only one way to find out is try.
I was shocked because, you know, most of their pens are, you know, it's black and chrome with gold trim and chrome, you know, I mean black and chrome trim, you know. It's the same four or five patterns, and then they come up with this thing, and I'm like, this is either going to be a huge hit or it's going to be a huge flop. Well, as it turns out, it was kind of a flop, and I think it has been discontinued except for the Ferrari version. I think it's the only one that they still make.
Interesting. Really?
Yeah, which also surprises me that they still make that pen.
Yeah. That's hilarious. But,
anyway, that's what's going on in the blog. What else do we have? Anything?
That's about it. It was it's been a busy week with getting ready for the show, being at the show, coming back, and then this week we've got some crazy things going on at the store in the office. We're acquiring some new furniture and display units, so we're going to be moving those around tomorrow. And probably Thursday as well. There's a lot of stuff to.
As if we needed any more display units.
No, this one's cool. This is big glass, multi-unit fixture that we're going to move into the back of the store where the paper is. I'm very excited.
Is it from IKEA?
What?
Sorry.
No. Is it from IKEA?
No.
No, it's just.
I hope not. I hope not. So.
I'm simulating an IKEA wrench.
So weird.
No, it's already assembled. We just have to figure out how to get it from the second floor down to the first floor.
Oh dear.
Out the window.
Yeah.
It's
we do have an escalator. What do you think? It's big.
It's too big to fit on the dolly, and it's too heavy. You know, I don't necessarily want to take the whole thing apart. I mean, there was how many glass shelves do we count? There's like 3, 6, 9. There's
12.
Like 35 different glass shelves on this thing.
Oh.
Yeah. So we can take the big ones off and maybe load it onto a bigger dolly. We'll see. That last piece will be a challenge, but once we get it downstairs, it's going to be awesome. We're very excited.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Yep, got to mix it up. Let's see what else. Oh, the dark lavender, the dark lilac. The Lamy Dark Lilac pens finally came in. So those are cool. We have those, but no ink. We got,
they
I
sent
think
us
four,
what, like four cartridges?
Four sets of cartridges.
Like, oh, yeah. That's
ordered, yeah, I said I ordered several dozen, and we got four. Not oh four dozen, God. We got 4 total. We got the pens we'd ordered, but no bottled ink at all, and that's going to be mid to late May before those come in, which was hugely frustrating, but at least we got them in before we left.
Yeah, we actually waited to leave until two things
came in.
The Lamy, and we had a package from Sailor, which included some nice bespoke pens, but
So that's it.
Shout outs, unless there's anything else?
Nope, shout outs. So many people, and I didn't write everybody down. I should, and so I apologize. Everybody was there, and I'm not going to name you, and I'm sorry. Big hugs, though, to Sharon and John, who came down. Justin was there. Guy, Seth, John Bemis, our friend Jim from Canada.
Who took the coolest picture? Where is that picture?
Oh, the black and white one. Yeah, he had this really cool camera, and he took a picture, and then he asked if we wanted a copy, and my assumption was he would email me one, and he pulls this thing out of the back.
It's like a Polaroid.
It's a Polaroid.
And
like the old-fashioned, it's really cool.
Yeah, so you see, it's a black and white of Lisa and I at the pen show.
That's awesome.
That's really neat.
It's totally cool.
Hector's in the chat. Hector and his wife Connie were there. Hector had this big camera with this huge, what is that thing? It looks like a telescope on the end of it.
Yeah, a flash on the top.
I know, but it was cool. It was this
telescope.
Camera.
Yes, that's what it was.
That's what it looked like. It looked like a big telescope on the front of his camera. Always good to see Hector and Connie. And so we got to talk about leaving kids at home while we're at pen shows, and it was a good time.
And one of many sets of people that came up to us to tell us that they're visiting us at the store this summer.
Yes.
I mean, that was like every fourth person came up and said, okay, I've got reservations.
I'm so excited.
I'm coming up the week of, EAA. I'm coming up the last week of June. It was just
nice.
It's going to be crazy this summer. People are going to be coming up all the time.
Yeah. And it was also a very baby-friendly show. Lots of little kids under, like, 2 or 3. Justin brought his son Desmond, who is just the cutest little thing. And our good friends Michelle and Ariel Kulik were there, and they brought my little boyfriend, Lior, who is so big now.
Careful,
he's 16 months old, running around. Everybody's picking him up. There's a great, I thought there was a picture of Osman Sumer, the incredibly knowledgeable Mont Blanc expert, with Lior on his shoulders, and Lior's like playing the drums on Osman's head. It was great. But quite a few people had young kids, and from what I could tell, all the vendors were just excited to see a younger generation being brought to the show. Nobody was upset about kids or anything. Kids are usually very much welcomed, and kids make out like bandits at shows.
I don't think Lior was really taking in the pen experience. He just was there.
He was just excited to be there and have everybody talking to him and all the ladies ooing and aahing over him. It's quite the flirt.
Aziza and Stephen, do you have any shout-outs this week since you're live
here
with us?
Well, we went to Lay Wines on Sunday?
On
Sunday. And we met a whole bunch of pen people, and
cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was very neat.
There were a whole bunch of people, and I was jet-lagged. But hello to everybody, because it was a lot of fun. It was just really fun to meet people in person that you interact online every day, or not every day, but, frequently. I'm sure you guys know what that's like because you meet people at shows, and it's really fun to put a face to the names. So.
Also, I think it's worth it to give a shout out to the shop owner there.
Yeah.
And his amazing staff, who were all very knowledgeable about pens and very passionate about pens. So it's nice to see people who really have a passion for what they're selling and not just selling it to make money.
Right. I think that's the difference, right?
Yeah.
That's definitely
really makes a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. And of course, we want to thank you guys for being able to be on the show. And it was, it certainly hadn't been planned out for a long time. It just occurred to us that we were all in the same time zone. Just like a double date.
It was like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
It's kind of sad that our double dates are on a podcast, but, you know, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, that's true.
Awesome. Anything else this week? We wrap it up?
I think we're going to wrap it up.
Okay, great. Aziz and Stephen, thank you so much for being in the podcast. Everybody else, use your pens.
Thank you for having us.
Send us a note, postcard, letter, or show off your handwriting. We would love to get snail mail from you. Am I supposed to read the next line? Lisa screwed up the script here, so it is a screwed up. She changed it on me. So.
I noticed.
Gotta keep it interesting, you know. Write to us at 10 East College Ave, Suite 112A, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54911.
Oh, I'm supposed to say that. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Periscope, and every other form of social media at Anderson Pens.
The blog is blog.andersonpens.com.
And the website, of course, is andersonpens.com. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We will see everyone next week. And again, thank you so much, everyone, for joining, and have a good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.